Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey everybody, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm here today with Linda Olson. We are going to be talking about wealth through stories and how to love the story that God has built in your life. And there's a bunch of stories. Part of what you're going to understand today during this interview is the three basic kinds of stories there are, the most important ingredient to any story, three simple strategies to help you find the best stories, also the three biggest mistakes that storytellers make and how you can avoid those, the biggest story-related price you'll ever pay. The number one insider secret to creating wealth through your stories, why thinking you need a big story could really set you back, and also the number one reason you must share your story now. Our guest today is Linda Olson. She's a TEDx speaker, multiple best-selling author, and founder of Wealth Through Stories. Her mission is to impact millions of people a year through story, and her website is wealththroughstories.com. She's also one of our featured speakers at womenspeakers.com. Welcome to you, Linda.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, I'm excited to be with you too. And we're so excited to let you guys know too. We're going to be both of us speaking at the Well Conference coming up in Michigan in April 2021. So look forward to breaking out of COVID and going to a conference and come meet us in Michigan. And Linda, you're going to be sharing a lot about story because this is actually God has just equipped you with this desire and the capacity, the ability to actually help people get their stories out there.
Well, he has. He's done a big work in me for over many years, and that is my deepest passion. It is my mission, and there's nothing more fulfilling for me than helping people with stories.
And you're doing it. You get up every day and you're doing it.
Yes.
So we're going to talk first about the three basic kinds of stories. But before we do, I always think of heaven like the rest of the story. That's how I like to think of heaven, is that we're listening, you know, that old show that was on, you know, and he would lead you up and then he'd say, now for the rest of the story. And that's the rest of the story. And I think, honestly, here on earth, God gives us tastes of heaven. Just like he gives us taste of everything about heaven, you know, a beautiful day is like heaven, or seeing gold and the streets are like, you know, gold. So I think that story is one of the ways that he really gives us a sneak peek into heaven by sharing stories here. And then we get to see the whole rest of the story, his side of the story, what he's seen all along when we get there. So as we are progressing through our earthly journey here, what are the three basic kinds of stories that we get to tell and that we get to hear?
Well, first of all, Marnie, I love that perspective. I mean, it's great because somebody has said, you know, what's happening here is just preparation. The best is yet to come.
Oh, it's so true.
And that is the best story. Because, you know, when we talk about three basic kinds of stories, it's really, most of the time we think a story, we think of our past or maybe what is to come. But often what we miss is our story unfolds every day, every day. And so that is what I call our everyday story.
Okay.
That's one kind of story. Another kind of story is, think for a minute of any significant victories that you've had in your life, or often what I call turning points, something that has shifted. I mean, it may be getting married. It may be the birth of a child. It may be restoring a relationship. It could be positive things or not so positive things. But that's what I refer to as our turning point stories. And then many people have a big story, you know, a story that just carries a theme throughout their life. And that's what we refer to as our signature story.
So the turning point stories, that would be both the good and the bad, like 9/11, like 2020.
There you go. We don't have to look far.
No, But the big story, the signature story, that one, you kind of define that one a little bit better for us.
Okay. You know, that, like I said, is like a theme that carries throughout our life. When we look back at our past and recognize there was something, often a big event, it can often be a tragedy that happened, and you just know from that point on, your life has never been the same. Mm-hmm. And you trace that story throughout. Yeah. Mm.
Interesting. So what is the most important ingredient of any story?
Well, this may come as a surprise to many people, but I believe the most important ingredient is conflict. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think for a minute about any movie you've watched. How much conflict is there in the movie? Because today we're living in such a broken world that's how we connect with one another. We connect through pain, problems, conflict. And so every great story needs to have some kind of conflict.
Yeah. It's true. You know, one of the things that I speak on is pressure. And we all hate to feel like we're under pressure, stress, and we don't like it. But if you think of like a soda pop, if it has no pressure, it's flat. It's not valuable. If it has too much pressure and you open it, it explodes all over. There's the right amount of pressure. Hmm. And I think that in our lives too, God has got this tension that's happening there. And there's the amount of stress and pressure and conflict that is allowed. And all of that leads us into a place where we can really better appreciate peace, better value, you know, the times that aren't full of conflict.
Yes. And you know how often, I mean, those are really, I call them kind of growth spurts, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we
Absolutely.
Often think and resist that
right.
conflict and that pressure that you're talking about. But, you know, that's when we grow the most mm-hmm. and that's when our biggest stories happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. So what are the three simple strategies to finding our best stories?
Well, you know, we just talked about conflict, and that is certainly one major strategy. If every story has conflict, and I believe every great story does, we can just go back and explore our conflicts and say, you know what? What happened here? And then we explore our victories. It's like, what
right.
are the lessons that we learned from what that conflict was going on?
I have to tell you that just this morning, one of the phrases that comes to my head a lot is, it's just too hard. Okay, so that's a bad self-talk that I sometimes do. This is just so hard. And this morning, as I was talking to God about that, I had that sense again this morning about something. And I was talking to God about it, and he was talking about how if I could just redefine that, just reframe that, and just say, when I'm lifting a heavier weight with him, I'm building stronger faith muscles. So what if instead of saying, this is just too hard, I would say, this is heavier than usual in order to develop me for the next stage. So this thought of going back to all of my conflicts in the past, all of my tragedies and traumas, and saying within that, I survived. And that was the thought I had this morning, is it can't be too hard because I'm still here.
Absolutely.
Right? We survived them.
We survived it. And more than that, you know, the fact that we are here tells me that we are an overcomer.
Yes.
That everybody here is an overcomer. There are many things you've overcome. And see, the number one reason people are not telling their story is because most people don't think they have one. Well, using the definition that I used in terms of, you know, that every great story has conflict, all we have to do is look back at what have we overcome, and we've all have conflict. Mm-hmm. We have conflict on a regular basis. And mm-hmm. so we all have a story. We may not have learned how to put that story together and how to tell it effectively, but we all have conflict. We have a story.
And when you say conflict, would we actually be able to broaden that word to include our traumas and our trials and our the things that we've survived?
Absolutely.
It's yeah. Hard,
but also, on the other hand, when I think about conflict, it doesn't always have to be something negative. It may be as simple as making a decision. Am I going to do this now? Or am I going to postpone that and focus on this now? It's really just making a decision. So in that respect, if we use that definition, you know, there are many conflicts and decisions that we make throughout the day, every day.
Right, right. Interesting. Interesting. So what's a second strategy?
A second strategy is looking at the victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Look at the conflict, and then the victory is it's the lessons that we have learned from those times. And so often we think of those times as negative times, but really, you know, again, that's when our biggest growth happens. That's when very often, especially if it's big things, that we have to depend on the Lord more right. than any time. That's where he wants us all the time. He's finally got us where he wants us.
Right.
He has through hard times. Yes.
Right. Right. Yes. And what's number three?
And, you know, number three to me is really about looking at our everyday stories and focusing mm-hmm. on the gratitude. You know, what is it that we are grateful for today? And not just the positive things, but can we truly give thanks for the things that didn't go so well today? And the things that maybe brought initial disappointment and loss. And if we can learn to give thanks and all of that, we'll be surprised how many more stories will come up. Yeah,
absolutely. I'm thinking Anne Voskamp as you're saying that. The three biggest mistakes storytellers make and how to avoid them. So what are the mistakes we want to avoid?
Well, the big mistake is that so often when we tell story, we just use way too much time to tell it. Our stories are too long. We go on and on and on. And I'm telling
everybody
as often as I tell stories, you know, we can be at a friend's house and we're standing at the door ready to leave. And I've got one more story and my husband will nudge me. And he said, get to the point because, you know, very often without thinking of it, it's too long. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason it's too long is because we're sharing too much detail. We think that detail is important to me, so it's got to be important to you.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the listener just wants to know the purpose or reason for this story. Mm. And the third area is the biggest one, and that is it's the purpose of our story. So often we think, you know, this is my story, so obviously it's about me. But the purpose is to identify with our listener. So if our listener is, you know, maybe sharing a loss and some sadness, some disappointment, and as you listen to it, it may trigger something in your mind. And you can ask. And actually, I encourage you to ask permission. Because it's a matter of showing respect and say, would it be okay if I took a minute and just shared a story with you? And as you quickly share to identify with the listener, that's what makes all the difference. And so it's really about the purpose. And we have to remember the purpose is about our listener.
So that's really the way to avoid it, then, you would say, is to have the listener in mind.
Have the listener in mind and understand the needs of the listener. And if you don't know, you know, ask.
Yeah.
Ask. And very simply, I'll tell you one of the easiest ways to ask, and it can be with almost anybody, especially with a year like we've had this year, and that is, you know, how could I best pray for you?
Yeah.
And they will share their need, and then you know exactly often where they're hurting. And people are so touched with that because nobody really asks. And, you know, there's a lot of hurt and pain going on. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an old saying that goes that I could have said it or written it shorter if I would have had more time. And I love that. I love that because especially, you know, a lot of you guys that are listening to this interview are speakers or writers. And as you're crafting your stories, you really do want to pay close attention to getting it down to the right size, the right length, the right amount of detail in order to have it be appropriate for whatever your audience is. And, you know, sometimes in daily conversation, we don't have time to strip it all the way down. But when you're a professional communicator, that's really important.
And it does take a lot of time. We just think, you know what? I mean, ideally, a story should be 2 minutes, no longer than 3 minutes. And you think, how do I tell my story in 2 minutes? Well, it's a skill to be able to work on that and hone it down to keep it short. And that's often what we forget. We think, well, 2 minutes, shoot, 2 minutes is nothing. But what have you actually said in 2 minutes? Have you just rattled on or have you shared something significant?
So I can hear right away an author saying, well, that's not true because you have entire books that are telling one story. But what you're saying is that inside the book, there are many, many stories that create the one big story.
Exactly. Yeah. And my TEDx talk is actually an example of that. We were given 10 to 12 minutes. And it was shortly before I went on as I was practicing this talk, and I realized that what I had done was actually broken it down to about 5 or 6 2-minute stories. Yeah. And I just weaved story throughout the whole talk. Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's why, you know, that's why when you're preparing for a media interview, now this is a longer format. We have several minutes here, but sometimes I've had just only 3 minutes. 90 seconds, you really want to get those sound bites down so that you can say something meaningful very quickly. And, you know, the power of a good story is that it is very fast paced. It keeps you very engaged. You're not wandering off because it keeps on moving.
Exactly. Yes, you're absolutely right.
So what is the biggest story related price that we pay?
You know, so often, we just think, you know, like I said, storytelling is a skill. And I've invested thousands and thousands of dollars and thousands of hours into working on my story, preparing my story. My personal story is a 45-year journey. So to hone that down and bring it into 2 minutes, I mean, believe me, that did not happen overnight. That is long. But the biggest price we will ever pay is staying stuck in our story. Because that's when we lose out. Right there, being stuck. Because if we're stuck, it's going to affect our relationships. Without the relationships, we don't have a ministry. We don't have a business.
Right.
You know, it's like, yes, we can stay stuck. That, to me, is by far the biggest price we will ever pay.
And boy, do we see this on both sides of the coin. People sometimes stay stuck in their misery. This was a terrible part of my story. This happened to me and this was awful and I can't move past it. And some people stay stuck in the good points where they want it to be the fantasy that this is going to go on like this forever and ever. I just want to capture this one thing and I just want to sit here and soak us in. But either way, it's stagnant water, and the waters of our lives are more like a flowing. It needs to flow. Otherwise, it gets kind of, it just isn't meant to just sit in one place.
Well, it isn't. And see, what often keeps us stuck, it's the fear of growth, because growth includes pain.
Right.
And so we can say, well, it's fear of pain. I mean, nobody wants pain. Who wants pain? I mean, I don't want pain. And yet I know that there are no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. It's really facing the challenges, the pain, the conflict, whatever there is, and being willing to move or push our way through it. And that's when we will freedom. So we don't push through it for the sake of pain. We push through it because of the wonderful results on the other side.
Right.
And to know that God is with us through all of this, we never have to do it alone.
Right. Now we say we would never pick it, but now that we're here, what can God teach us through it? So what is the number one insider secret to creating wealth through your stories?
Well, you know what? I believe a big part of it is truly fully owning our story. Mm. And as we own it, that's when we will have the freedom to be able to share, like you talked about earlier, in short sound bites, in those 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But we have to first fully own everything there is, yes, in our story.
One of the resources that I have at Marnie.com for free is just called the Godly Wealth Roster. And what I did in there is on the left side of it, you write down what your pain point is, what your prayer request is, whatever. And then on the right-hand side, eventually you write down what God's answer was later. But right now in the middle, you circle on one of two sides. The first side is you're circling every fruit of the spirit or every positive outcome that could come if God said yes now. And in the left column, you circle every fruit of the spirit or positive outcome that could come if God said no or later. Because what we find is that no matter what it is we're asking for, we always think the only way that we can feel wealthy and blessed and happy is if God gives us exactly what we ask for, when we ask for it, the way we ask for it. And that's just not the case. He has so much, and I'm going to use the word wealth, to bring us in every situation. Sometimes it's financial, but many times it's relational, spiritual. There's so many different ways that God can increase our wealth. Now, when you're talking about people getting wealthy through their stories, how do you actually define that? So I kind of use that broader definition because I believe God isn't always all about money. And yet money is, of course, an important piece of life, too. So when you're helping people, you have a website called wealththroughstories.com. So when you define wealth, how do you define it?
Well, that's a good question, because so often, like you said, when we think about wealth, we think about money, finance, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And that is a big thing, because through story, there are ways that you can use your story to connect faster, to something I teach is to develop instant trust and credibility with someone you've never met through story. Well, if you build that trust, and if you're in a business, you can attract more clients, attract them quicker. There's many ways to use story from the sense of a financial wealth. But I use wealth in the broader term, similar to what you just shared.
Okay.
And that is, it's the abundance,
right.
You know, the love, the joy, the peace, all these things, the fruits of the spirit. I mean, my goodness, money can't buy peace. And I would much sooner have peace than I would have money. And, you know, those kind of things. So when I think about wealth, I just think about, you know, the joy my grandkids bring me, the fun, the opportunity, the health, all God has given me. That to me is the wealth.
Yeah.
I picked up a plaque a few years ago on vacation, and it said, live a great story. And I thought, live a great story. Now, what does that really mean? To me, it's what we're talking about right now. It's that, it's the wealth of just enjoying what God has given us today.
Yeah. I want to just share a short story. So on Sunday night, I received an email that was from a missionary friend, a pastor friend I have in an impoverished area. And he wrote, please pray with us. We are out of food. Okay. So immediately Years ago, I would have been mad at God about that, his failure to provide food for them. But now I've grown in my faith. And so I was like, thank you, God, that you are providing, that you're strengthening his faith muscle, that you're showing people how you provide all the time. And I just committed that to prayer. Well, on Monday, I received, so that was Sunday. And on Monday, I hadn't told anybody about this prayer need. I was just praising God and talking to him about it. And on Monday, I got an email, it was a little Facebook, one paragraph from a pastor in another state. And they said, we are so excited. We have all this money, and it was over $1,000, all this money to send to that particular pastor. Now, both of these messages came out of nowhere. I didn't expect either of them. And nor was I in control of any of the circumstances surrounding it. But God, he was testing my faith at the same time as this pastor's faith. He was testing my faith. Will you be angry with me because it looks bad? Or will you trust me because I'm in control? And in this particular story, I got to see his response within just 24 hours, which sometimes you don't get to see the response for a long, long time, maybe yeah. not till heaven, right? But he's calling us to faith, and story is how we communicate to others. You know, that's the story of Peter walking on the water. I love that story. Get your eyes off of the problem and on to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, we can communicate through these stories, and there's so much life. And I love that word abundance. There's so much abundance in the stories that God is thinking of us sharing and that he has built into our lives. You caution people against worrying that you don't have a big enough story. So tell us about that.
You know, it's amazing how many people will say, especially God has given me a big story. When they hear my story, you know, immediately, you know how it is. It's so easy to just compare or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a big story. And so, therefore, I don't have anything to share is really what
I have no story.
Yeah. And that, you know, nothing could be farther from the truth. To me, it's not how big a story or how huge a trauma or whatever you have gone through. To me, it's much more about how big are the lessons that you have learned. And it may have been a small thing that happened, but for you, the lessons were huge. Yeah. And that to me is much more what it's about. And then of course, it's also about learning to share it effectively, learning to communicate well. But whether you have a big story or not, you have story. In fact, our life is really made up of thousands, maybe millions of stories, because like I said, stories unfold every day. Yes.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot, and in a moment, I'm going to have you share what you would call as a little story that has big impact. But before I have you do that, I'm going to give you a second to think. But before I have you do that, I want to go back to the analogy of the story that I just shared a minute ago. So that story really wasn't even about me. That story was about the pastor who didn't have any food. It's about the other pastor who had money that came in right at the time that they needed it. That story had nothing to do with me, but because of how God created the world and that he loves body life, I get to be part of that story simply because he chose to make me aware of it happening. And now you're a part of the story because you've heard it, and you can actually go and share it with somebody you know. And now it becomes your story. How did that impact you? So unlike gossip, which is kind of you've got the positive and the negative side of everything. Gossip is when I jump into somebody else's story, but not with the intent to give God glory. And so then we have story where I get to jump into someone else's story, and it becomes my story that I get to share with joy for the glory of God. So can you think of an example of a small story that actually is big?
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you said that was I stopped by our daughter's place and wanted to say hello to her grandson. And we sat down next to each other, and he looked at me and he said, now he is 3 years old, and he looked at me and he said, Grandma? I said, yes. He said, how was your day? And I thought, a three-year-old is asking me how my day is. A lot of my adult friends aren't asking me that. And I said, you know, Micah, Grandma was having a good day. And then she talked to Micah on the phone, and she had a great day. And he said, that makes my heart happy. And I said, well, felt in my heart. And I thought, and this precious young guy, I think he would listen to his mom talk on the phone, and she would say, well, how was your day? And so he learned that. 2 months later, they were going through the Costco line and the cashier, and he looked at the cashier and he said, how was your day? And she said, she looks at his mom and says, what did he just say? And she said, oh, he just asked how your day was. And she stopped what she was doing and she said, I have worked here for 22 years and no one has ever asked me, how was my day? And I thought, wow, I mean.
Okay, that just makes me cry, right? Yeah, that's a little story from a little guy.
Well, now yeah. 2 years later, he's now 5, and he still asks me, just at any time, Grandma, how was your morning?
How was your
morning? And I thought, oh, it still melts my heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so in that story, going back to your first point about conflict, where do you see the conflict in that story? Where was it?
That conflict for me was, first of all, for me personally, it was, yeah. I was so taken back with asking me, I couldn't even respond initially. I mean, I remember looking directly at his mom and I thought, did he really just say this? So that, in a sense, was really an inner conflict. I mean, it was so small and most people would overlook it, but that was an initial conflict for me. Yeah.
And what was interesting is at the point where I experienced conflict was the moment when he asked the clerk, the cashier, and I realized I don't usually ask them anything personal. I will often say thank you. But the conflict for me came in the moment where I realized, wow, a three-year-old took time to ask how they were, and that's something that I typically don't do. So your stories, as you develop, as God develops them through your life, you might be surprised that your story will affect many different people in many different ways, at many different moments of the journey through even just a short story.
Yes, exactly. And you know what? The thing is, when the story's actually happening, I don't think about it. It's later when I'm often journaling or maybe sharing it with my husband or something that all of a sudden these pieces come together and I'm thinking, wow, that was really impactful. Yes.
So just to go back and clarify, the moment of conflict, the reason that this story really stuck out for you was because of the shock that you felt at that moment where he was asking you the question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So all we're looking for then in that conflict position, all we're looking for really is a moment that takes your breath away, just that moment that just stops you. And because that moment did stop you, take note. There's something here.
I really like what you said. It's that moment. So often we're looking for some big thing. No.
Big thing.
That moment that touched your life.
Yeah.
That moment that touched your life and just stop and think, you know, what just happened here? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. What is that conflict for
me?
So beautiful.
And why do you say that we have to share our stories now?
You know what? There's a couple reasons. One is I believe our story is the most important gift we have been given. Mm-hmm. Our story is our life. That is a gift. Every gift, of course, is from above. But that is our gift. And the thing is, if we're not sharing our story, and our story is for the purpose of helping others and giving them hope as we share maybe something we've overcome or whatever it may be, if we're not sharing it, I cannot even imagine how many hundreds, thousands of people are missing out because we have refused to share a story. And I'll tell you here a little story that brought huge conflict for me. And that was when my coach told me at one point, this was a high-end coach. I'd worked for 3 years and, you know, she would just say it like it is. And she says, you know, you're very selfish. And I thought, selfish? I really consider myself a pretty giving person. I know I have the gift of giving and I give wherever I can. And I said, what do you mean? And she says, when you are holding back and sharing your story, you are being selfish.
Wow.
And I thought, wow. Like I said, that was a major conflict for me. I really had to think about that.
And isn't that interesting? Because honestly, so many Christian women I work with are really, they really feel very proud if they ever tell their story or share that they're available to speak or have a book that they want to people to read. They feel like this feels really proud to me, but that is the enemy saying that. Honestly, when you were talking about that, what was coming to my mind is I mean, I've written several books and I know how much work goes into a book. It's such a labor of love. And when I read someone else's very good book, I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude that they bothered to write that for me so that I could get inside their brain for 2 hours and just understand what they understood. And it took so much work for them to give me that 2 hours worth of pleasure, that 2 hours worth of insight, whatever it was. And I'm so grateful. So I totally agree with you that the enemy of your soul will do everything he can to keep you from sharing your story.
Absolutely. Because see, in our mind, we often think, well, who would this even impact and who would even be interested? That's more about a value problem. We're thinking that way. It really is. Because you know what? Then we're saying, you know, to me, that's really putting down the creator in many respects. We're saying he messed up. And he is giving it, he's given our life as our gift, and he wants us to share it with others.
Yeah, absolutely. You are such a gift to the world, and your story is actually unique. It's not like anyone else's story. If you don't tell your story, nobody will, because nobody can. Nobody can understand how you felt in that moment, or what you saw, or what God taught you in that moment. And that's where we just gain so much from each other's experiences. Well, Linda, thank you so much. First of all, I want you guys to know that Linda's available as a speaker, trainer. Again, her and I will be teaching at the Well Conference in April 2021. And also her website is wealththroughstories.com. Linda, when people go over there, what are they going to find?
Oh, you know what? I hope they find a warm welcome, because I just want to introduce them a little bit to who I am. And more than anything, I want them to know that I would love to get to know them. I have an opportunity for a free 20-minute story strategy session that if I can do anything to help them with their story, I would be delighted.
Yeah. And then tell us how you actually help people who want to go a little farther with you. Like, what is it that you provide for someone who needs more help developing their story?
Well, in a nutshell, I really help them find, create, and tell their story. I also help with writing their story, but it's really, you know, a big part is, first of all, they really have to know that they have an important story and a story that the world needs to hear. Yes.
I have a picture of you and you're standing on a platform, just in my mind. I have a picture of you and you're standing on a platform and there's a line of women out in front of you. And each one is trying to come up on the platform, but there are no stairs. They just have this space between the floor and the platform. And they're just trying to get up there on the platform with you. And what you're doing is you're just bending down. And with both of your arms, you're helping each woman up so that she can stand on the platform that God created her to be on. And I thank you for your work. I thank you for your heart and for your love. And thank you for pursuing and following and doing what God put in your heart to do when he created you.
Oh, well, thank you. It has not been an easy journey, but very worthwhile. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I feel humbled.
Well, thank you so much. And you guys want to be sure to check out Linda's stuff over at wealththroughstories.com. Also, she's a speaker available at womenspeakers.com. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.